We're on Divrei Yamin Beis, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yizan. We're getting toward the end. Okay, we're already in Amatzia. Vayibot Amatzia Melech Yehuda Vayishach Az Yosh Ben Yoachas Ben Yehu Melech Yisrael Leimor Lecha Misroya Panim. So Amatzia was feeling really good about himself. Everything that had happened up until now, he had defeated, right, the people who had killed his father. He had taken down the Edomim, right, destroyed the Edomim completely, those people from Edom. So he decided, you know what, I'm gonna go a little bit further. He sent Yoash, son of Yoachaz, the son of Yehu, the king of Israel, sent to him a message saying, hey, let's meet each other at war. Now, the last time this had happened, where there was a fight between Yisrael, Melech Yehuda, did not end well. Yoav and Avner fought it against each other. Avner killed Asoel, Yoav's brother. And in the end, that's what Yoav killed Avner for, because he had killed Asoel, right? That's ended up happening. So here, they want to have the same thing, a skirmish, a little skirmish. We just wanted, what do they call them, you know, when they have... but they call them like wars, like mock wars, right? Amen. But they have them out there. I guess they're testing each other. They're seeing how everything goes. That's what they wanted to do over here. Now, the problem is that the kingdom of Israel was extremely upset at Ahazio already. Why were they extremely upset at Ahazio? Because of what had happened earlier. What had happened earlier in a time before this is that there was something, right, where Amatzia hired them to be mercenaries for him, and then they stopped. And then they said, we're not going to do this anymore, right? They sort of like quit on them right in the middle. When something like that happens, right, nobody took that well. The people were really upset about it, right? And they were still upset at the Jews. And remember, there were some of them that even went and took over some of the cities of Yehuda and were really upset at them for that. But that's what was happening over here. So that was what was going on. So it says, in Pasuk Yudches, Vayishlach Yoash Melech Yisrael El Amatzio Melech Yehuda, Yoash, the king of Israel, said to Amatzio, the king of Yehuda, Lemor, HaChoyach Asher B'Levanon, Shalach Zeretz Asher B'Levanon. Listen to this. The thorn bush in the Lebanon sent a message to the cedar wood in the Lebanon. The thorn bush refers to Amatziahu. The cedar wood refers to him, Yoash. I'm more powerful than you. Lemor tenaz bitcha livni leisha. Give your daughter to me as a wife. Right? The thorn bush is asking for the cedar wood's daughter as a wife. So all the wild animals that were in the Lebanon came. They trampled the thorn bush. Amarta yinei kisas adom. You said to yourself, Amatziah, you think you're so great. You said, oh, I destroyed Adom. Right, you had gaiva a little bit. You think you're so heavy now. You think you're greater than anything else. Sit at home, Ahazio. Why should you get involved in this evil, and then you and all of Yehuda will fall with you? What are you getting involved with this for? Ahazio, I don't want to fight you. I'm going to destroy you if we do fight, if we have this little skirmish. Stay at home. Amatzia wouldn't listen because this is all from God. Laman titum biyad. In order for him to be destroyed in their hands, kidoshu asalhei Edom, because Ahazia started worshiping the gods of Edom over here. That's the idea behind it. Yoash was looking at Amatzia and saying, there's no way that our families can align with one another. Like, you guys think, Melech Yehuda, and I'm sure this is always there, the Malchus of Yehuda always considered themselves the queen, and Yisrael consider themselves the nobodies. To give you a mushel, you know, because we're living in Chicago right now. It's like the Cubs and the Brewers. We look at the Brewers as like a little brother, a tiny little brother. Like, it's not like a rivalry. It's just like, whatever, yeah, my little brother wants to fight me. My little brother wants to come up against me. That's how Chicagoans look at it. The Brewers are like, oh, we're going to defeat, right? The Chicago Cubs, the mighty Chicago Cubs. They look at them, they're just like laughing at them. Why? You think that's an actual fight? You think that's a real battle? He considered him so lowly. It's not even like, I can't even be machshav you. Like, you're there. You what? No, that's not it. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. Now, there are other things over here, which they were referring to, Shimon and Yehuda, right? Shimon and Levi going and fighting against everybody else, right? And stuff like that. Remember, this is also, even Ahazia is a great, great grandchild of Ahav, if I have that correctly. A great, great grandchild of Ahav altogether, right? This is an idea, a great, great grandson altogether. Yoash was a grandson of Yehu, who had destroyed the family of Ahav. So it could be that since Yoash is from Yehu, he looked at Ahazia and he said, you're from Ahav. There's no way you can defeat me because I'm from Yehu. And Yehu was told, you should always defeat Ahav. You will always be able to do it. We have a nevuah against you. Don't fight against me. It's not going to end up well for you. That's the idea behind it if you decide to come up against me over here. So it says in Pasuk, where are we over here? Pasuk Chaf. So Yoash, the king of Israel, went up, right, and they met each other. Huva Matzio Melech Yehuda Beveis Shemesh Hashalita, right by Beit Shemesh. Which is weird, by the way, because where is Beit Shemesh? Yeah, but where? Is it considered north, south, west, east? It's technically south. So that's weird, because if you're going to fight against the Melech of Israel, you'd think you would fight toward the north. You'd go to them, or they would come to you. You'd meet like somewhere in between. Going there is sort of like all this area is Yehuda. They went from here to go fight. That's just weird. Why they went to Beit Shemesh is a little bit of a kasha. But I guess, you know, if this is just war games and that's all they're doing, they're just playing a game with each other, trying to challenge each other, etc., then I guess it makes a little bit of sense. They just went to an open field. There was an open field near Beit Shemesh. They decided to have everything over there. Okay. Vayinogav Yehuda lifnei Yisrael. Yehuda was plagued in front of Bnei Yisrael. Vayanusa Yishlo Olav, and everybody had to run home. Vayisamatim Melech Yehuda ben Yosh ben Yoachas Tafas Yosh Melech Yisrael. Yosh, the king of Israel, captured Amatya, or I'm sorry, yeah, Yoash, the king of Israel, captured him in Beit Shemesh. By the Eu Yerushalayim, and he brought him to Yerushalayim. By Yifrotz Bechomas Yerushalayim, the king of Israel breached the walls of Yerushalayim, Yishar Ephraim, Atshar Apoine, from the gate of Ephraim all the way to the gate of the corner, Arba Meos Amma. He knocked down the wall 400 amos long. The reason why he did that is so that it would be easy for his army to come in. You guys want to rebel against me? I'm going to come in, I'm literally going to destroy your entire area. Right? So I'm giving you a warning right now, said Yoash. I'm willing to destroy all of the gold, all the silver, everything was found in the house of God when it was still back in the days of Oved Edom. That's Otsros, Beis HaMelech, and all of the treasuries of the king, that's Beis Bnei HaTaruvos, as well as the hostage children, the children that he had taken, by Yoshev Shomron. He brought them back to the Shomron. He wouldn't keep them in Yehuda. Nothing was going to be left over there. That's what ended up happening over here. This shows how low Yoash had fallen. Yoash was so bad, he wasn't machshiv the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. He took the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash out. Now, Yoash was the grandson of Yehu. Yehu was a tzaddik. He was a Talmud Chacham. He did great things. He destroyed the house of Achav. He was worthy of being the king of Israel. But Yoash had fallen, his own grandson had fallen so far that when the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash were in front of him, he said, let's take him back with us. He started worshiping idols the same way the people of Achav did, which shows how bad Yoash really was, how horrible it was. And this, again, was the reason why Yoash's son ended up being deposed as one of the kings of Yisrael. He was completely out of here. Now, Oved Edom, that's a name we haven't heard in a long, long time. Oved Edom was the person who the Aron had gone to when they were bringing it up from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim. They stopped by the house of Oved Edom. They brought it over there. They left it there for a little bit, and then they brought it back afterward. It's strange that his stuff was still around. It seems like Oved Edom donated certain things, and that stuff was still there. But now the treasure was taken away by Yoash. Not by a non-Jew, but by Yoash himself over here. So it seems really interesting. Ahaziah was returned as king, but Yoash was in charge, and Ahaziah was just like a vassal king. He was like, I don't know, a governor who had to listen to everything the original king said, and that's that.
Amatya.
I'm sorry? Amatya. Sorry, I said that wrong. Amatya was like that. Now, why? Why did that happen? Either, number one, because Amatya did the Avodah Zarah. Some say that Amatya was also, he was gaibedik when he did this, right? But either way, something bad happened here. Now, Vayechi Amatya ben Yoash melech Yehuda acharei mos Yoash ben Yoachas melech Yisrael. Amatya outlived Yoash, the son of Yoachas, the king of Israel, Chamesh Yisrei Shana, by 15 years. He outlived him by 15 years. Why did Yoash die so quickly? Simply put, because he took the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. You take away the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash and you use it for yourself, the result is you're going to die. That is an immediate result, and that's exactly what happened to Yoash. He did this, he died immediately. Number two, because he made fun of the Davidic dynasty. Because he got up there and he said, you guys are nothing in comparison to me. That I have the real line, and you guys are a bunch of thorns. Don't make fun of the Davidic line. Mashiach comes from that line. And if you call them thorns, that means you're calling Mashiach a bunch of thorns. That's a horrible thing to do. For that reason, he was killed. So both of those reasons are mentioned.
You actually chai misa, though, if you use Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash for yourself?
Me'ila is Chayiv Misa.
Right.
Yeah, that you're over on a lav, right? But you are Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So that's what you get of Rabbi Yisrael, Divrei HaMatzah, Rishonim, V'Achronim, Halohinim, K'suvim, Al-Sefer Malchut Yehuda V'Yisrael. The rest of what happens by HaMatzah, it's written in the Sefer Malchut Yehuda V'Yisrael, which is, again, book that we don't have. Meisr Shasor, HaMatzah, Meis, Amayachare Hashem. After HaMatzah turned away from Hashem, by Yikshu Alav Keshav Yerushalayim, there was a revolt in Yerushalayim among the Yehuda people. By Yonas Lachisha, he ran to the city of Lachish. By Yishu Ha'achar of Lachisha, they sent people after him in Lachish, by Yisru Sham, and they killed him there. HaMatzah was killed. HaMatzah was killed. By Yisru Al Asusim, they carried him on horses. They buried him together with his fathers in the city of Yehuda. This, unfortunately, was the second king of Yehuda in a row to be killed and not live until he died, until he passed away of old age, etc. Right? He was the second king of Yehuda in a row to be killed. And again, it was because of the Avodah Zarah he did. By both him and his father. These were great people who had an unbelievable life ahead of them. And unfortunately, they both died because of the dumbest things in the world. The dumbest things that they did. Ahaziah died because of worshiping the idols of Edom. And Yoash died because of worshiping himself and allowing himself to be called a god toward the very, very end. Really, really horrible stuff over here. There are some opinions over here that Ahaziah was already king for 15 years, and this happened only toward the end of those 15 years. There's a lot of cautions about what happened over here. Regardless, we see that people have to be extremely careful about what happens, right, when they're in charge, because power corrupts. And that's something that definitely happened to Amatzia over here, and right, and it also happened to Yoash. They took Uzziah. He was 16 years old at the time. And they put him in charge. They put him in charge instead of his father, Amatya. Now, even though he was 16 years old, and 16 years old was pretty old back then. That was a nice age. It shows he was an immature child. He was not ready to become king yet. They made him king, right? Even though technically he had done some things that should not allow him to become king over here. Some say that Uzziah was already the head of the government while Amatzia was there. Nobody liked Amatzia, but everybody liked Uzziah. He wasn't a bad guy, and it seems it was good. But the Radak says that he was 16 when his father was killed. Okay, there are some crazy things that happen, right, when it comes to Uzziah itself. And there's definitely also a difference. This is when the prophets began to get up. What we don't talk about over here, but it's throughout the Treyaser, is the Nevi'im started to get up at this time during Uzziah's time and say, guys, the days are coming. It's going to happen soon. We already saw Zechariah got up. Zechariah got up, right, and spoke these evil words, and he was killed by Yoash and his cronies in the Beis HaMikdash, said his blood was boiling inside the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now we have other Nevi'im, Hosea, Amos, Yeshaya was getting up at this time. At around this time, when Uzziah became the king, that's when other Nevi'im were coming out. And for the first time, multiple Nevi'im were getting up and saying, this Beis HaMikdash is not much longer. We have maybe another 100, 120 years, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And people thought they were crazy. Crazy. What are you talking about? This Beis HaMikdash is going to last forever. There's no way it's going to be destroyed. We've done evil things before. We even lost the 10 tribes. There's no way anything bad is going to happen. But the Nevi'im were getting up, and they were getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And this was happening time after time after time. Again, this is in the times of Uzziah. Who bana es elot. He built up elos. And he brought it back to Yehuda after his father, the king, ended up coming down. Now, what is Elos? Some say it's Eilat. Now, is it the same Eilat that exists all the way down by the Red Sea nowadays? Most likely not. Most likely not. It's most likely a city that's in the south of Eretz Yisrael, somewhere in the Negev, somewhere around there, and that's where it was. It could be a Eilat, because the point is, this is an Edomite city. Elos was an Edomite city that they took on for themselves, and Edom was down south. It's possible this is the Eilat that we hopefully don't know and love today, right? But some people might know and love today, right? Maybe it's referring to that itself. Regardless, it had been destroyed at some point, had been taken over by the non-Jews. He returned it to Yehuda. Then look at this, Ari. 52 years he was king in Yerushalayim. 16 years old and he was king. That makes him one of the oldest kings. Menashe was still older, right? He reigned for 55 years. He was also a little bit older when he became king. He was 15 when he became king. So he's still a little bit older. But 52 plus 16, that's a nice ripe old age, right? I mean, we're dealing all together. 67, 68 years old when he passed away. That's very impressive for the time back then. Shem Imo, Yecholia, meaning Yerushalayim. The name of his mother was Yecholia. He did good in the eyes of Hashem, like Amatzia's father. Remember, even though Amatzia went bad at the end of his life and started worshiping the gods of Edom, he was a good person in the beginning of his reign. And so too, Uzziah was really good. What he did is he sought out God. That's the right word. Thank you. My English is great. But he sought out God during the days, right, of Zechariah the Navi, another man who was a Navi, Amevim Beros Elohim, who understood the visions of God, who made Dorosho as Hashem, Hatzlich Elohim. During those years that he sought out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him very Matzliach. Hashem granted him great success. He fought against the Plishim, he destroyed the walls of Gath, Ve'eschomas Yavna, as well as the walls of Yavna, Ve'eschomas Ashdod. By the way, Yavna, that's where Kerem B'Yavna is today. At that time, it was a Plishti city, right? Also Ashdod. Ve'yivna Arim Ashdod Plishtim. He built up cities among the Plishti areas. Ve'yazreel Elohim al Plishtim v'al Aravim. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him when he fought against the Plishtim or the Arabs. Hayoshim Begur Bo'al v'ma'unim. In those areas of Gur Baal and the Ma'unim, we don't know where those places are. V'yivna Ammonim min Chaluzio. And even the Ammonim were on the east side of the Jordan River, brought gifts to Uzziah. Ve'yelech Shmo Ad Levo Mitzrayim. And his name went as far as the entrance to Mitzrayim, Ki'achzik Ad Lamala. He had become extremely powerful. Now, there is a little bit of a question how good he was over here, but everybody seems to say that at the beginning of life, at the beginning of everything, he was listening to Nevi'im, he became extremely successful, and everything was going really, really well. Va'even Uzziah Mugdal in Yerushalayim, he built towers in Yerushalayim, Al-Shar Apina, on the gate of the corner of Al-Shar Gai, as well as a certain type called the Valley Gate. If everybody knows, outside of the Old City, you have that valley, Gai Ben Hinnom, right around there. That's where he built up the walls right around there. Va'alam Mikzov, Ve'yechaskem, as well as other areas, the edge, and he strengthened them. Va'yivam Migdalim Bamidbor, he made other towers in the desert. Va'yakto Boros Rabim, he dug many wells. Kimikna Ravailo, because he had a ton of sheep. I guess at that time they became an agricultural nation. They didn't have much money because the king of Israel had already taken it away from them. Likely they had to get money in whatever way possible. They became a very agricultural, working on their fields as well as having animals. Nezha Bashvelo Bamishor, as well as the lowlands and the plains, etc. Ikarim Mekormim, he had farmers and he had vineyards. Baharim Bakarmel in the mountains and in the other Carmel. Ki Oiv Adama Hayi, he was a man who loved the land. Oiv Adama, that meant that he was a big person over here. Now, Chazal say, when we say he was Oved Adama, it's just like we call Noach. What do we call Noach when he came off the Teva? We call him an Ish Ho'adama, a man of the land. Such a thing is not a praise. Ish Ho'adama means he's a lowly man who only thinks of the physical aspects of life and doesn't worry about anything else. He doesn't care about anything else out there. This is what Uzziah became. Uzziah was so into the land, he started thinking to himself only physical thoughts, Gashmi thoughts. Ruchnius was so far out of it, he didn't want to have to deal with any of that stuff. He was a Gashmi person dealing with the Gashmi of the land. He had an army bringing out troops, right? The numbers were in the hands of Yiel HaSeiferim, Aseyu HaShoiter, Al Yad Chananyahu, Misari HaMelech Chananyahu, who was one of the officers of the king. We do not know, unfortunately, any of these names. Kol Mispar Rosh HaOvz LeGibor Yechayo, Alpayim V'Shesh Meos. The number of the heads of the families among the warriors was 2,600. Now, that's a small amount, but that was the families involved, the heads of the families, you call them like generals, 2,600 generals. Al Yadam, Chel Tzava, Shlosh Meos Elef. He had an army of 300,000 people, Vishivas 11, 307,000 people, Chamesh Meos, 500. Osim Mocham Bekoa Chayil, Lazar Lamelech Allah Oyev. They fought against their enemies, right, against everybody else. Vayochen Lahem Uziyah Lecholotzeva Maginim Ramachim Bekovaim. Uziyah prepared for the entire army spears and shields and hats, Sher Yoinais, as well as other things like bows, no, that's armor. Kshasas are bows, Avne Klaim, and slingshots. He prepared for them everything they needed. Notice, by the way, interesting, no swords. Notice those words over there? No cherev, no susim. Those are not the things that he prepared. He also made all these different devices in which he placed them on the towers and the different areas, right, to shoot out arrows and stones, gedolos, that were huge, right? Everybody knew of him. He became very strong. Now, I don't know this. I'd love if somebody would be able to look this up. Now, remember, this would be around 900 before the Common Era, maybe somewhere around there, 800 before the Common Era, right around then, right? Did they, I know the Troy, etc., did they have people, did they have the huge rocks that they put on top of, like, you know, battle stations where they shot down at the armies below? Did they have those back then? I mean, did those exist, or is that something that we know today, because that's what else would you do? I don't know if this is the first mention of those, but it seems that he created these huge ballistorios, which are, you know, literally like missiles, put them on top of the walls, and when people came, they would shoot down the missiles and destroy as many people as possible. It could be that he's the first person to do it. Well, let's see what happens. Tazain, as he got stronger and stronger as time went on, Gavalibo, Adla Hashlis, his heart became very haughty until he sought to do something destructive. He did evil against Hashem, and he came to the Heichel of Hashem. He said, you know what? I'm the king. I want to bring Ketores. I want to bring it on the Mizbeach of the Ketores. I want to bring my own Ketores. And with him, 80 warrior Kohanim. They came with him. And they stood right by Uzziah, the king. This is not for you, Uzziah. To burn to Hashem. It's only for the Kohanim to do this. Who? Where do you see it? Wikipedia says that King Uzziah is the first person? What, does it say a date? Is it really 850 before BCE?
What did you look up?
8th century
BCE.
Catapult?
8th century. Oh, wait. BCE. Yeah, that makes about sense. Because it goes 800 to 900 BCE. Wikipedia. You know it's true.
Yeah, some Jewish guy did it.
No, but it's amazing. What? But the first mention in anything to do that seems pretty amazing. Wait, what did you look up? You looked up catapult?
Ballista. That's what they're called.
Ballista? Did you look up in Hebrew?
No, ballista.
Oh, B-A-L-L-I-S-T-A. Oh, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. I got to tell you, that's pretty amazing. If that holds up, that's pretty darn amazing that he was the one who created it and went through. Anyway, they stood up. They said, Lo lecha uzio lahakter l'shem ki lakona ben aaron u'kadoshim lahakter. Same in a mikdosh. Get out of the base of mikdosh ki ma'alta. You've done something wrong. Lo lecha l'cha ben me'ashem l'kim. For you will not bring honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the way you're doing it over here. You can't bring honor. Now, this is something that I think bothers us so many times. I wish I would be able to do Berachas Kohanim. I wish I'd be able to stand up in front and I'd be able to do Berachas Kohanim. I wish that I'd be able to do such a thing. But I can't. I'm not a Kohen. No matter how hard I try, I'm not going to create myself into a Kohen. So I have to accept the role that I have and be okay with it, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for me. Do I want it that way? No, I wish I would have been something different. But you know what? That's my role. That's the role that I have. Now, that is easy to say as, you know, a Jewish male. Sometimes it's harder to accept if you're a Jewish female, right? A woman doesn't always find it easy to accept the fact that she's not going to lane. She's never going to daven for the yamud, right? That she's not going to be part of the minyan. She never can count as a quorum, right, to be able to call it. I understand that completely. I'm not in their shoes. I get it. Me pretend wanting to be a Kohen, right, is not really as comparable as a woman wanting to be involved in minyanim. But part of that is the acceptance of that's not what Hashem wants from you. Hashem wants other things from you. And I know this is no Gaila Maisa for what's happening at this week. Is it next week? Is that Shoal?
Oh.
The girl leaning?
Yeah,
I should call it a show, but yeah, whatever's happening, right? Yeah, but either way, regardless, right? It's an acceptance of a role. Now, again, you might not like it. I totally understand it. I don't like certain things about where I am either, but that's the way it is. I wish things were different, but that's the way it is. Uzziah was being told by the Kohanim, stop it. This is not for you. I get the desire to want to bring the Ketores. I get that. That makes a lot of sense. You want to do something extra. But this is not a kavod to Hashem. You think you're bringing honor to God by doing something extra. You're not. This is not what God wants from you. And if it's not what God wants, then that's a chilul Hashem, not a kiddush Hashem. And that's what they were telling him, this is not the right thing to be able to do. Now think about this for a second as a side note. Can you imagine going up to the king who can kill everyone with a snap of his fingers and telling him, no, you don't get to do this? We don't know much about Azariah, this Kohen Gadol who was there at the time. We have absolutely no idea. But Azariah Kohen must have been the strongest willed individual out there. A person who was so powerful. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm stopping him, and pulled 80 Kohanim with him. that they went ahead and stood with him so that they could stop Uzziah from going there. I wish I could say I would have been involved. I would have been there. I would have stopped him from doing it. But I'm just giving an example. But again, it's a weird example. Men and women are coming to daven together and make their own minyan at the Kotel. Are you willing to stand in their way and stop them from doing it? Or you say, to each his own. Every other Kohen said, all right, I'm not getting in the way of Uzziah HaMelech. He's the king. I'm not going near the king. And that's understandable, right? It's a crazy thing to do. Azariah got up because he knew it was the right thing to do. Now, it's not exactly comparable. But again, somebody who, this is not your role, not your place. You're trying to do something. Can you do it? I don't know. Maybe it'll cause a rock to come out of the Kotel right by where you're doing it. Yeah.
Is it the right thing to do up here, Lacha? Like, to be, quote-unquote, more mafos? Like, to commit one sin
You're right. This was probably a massive, massive undertaking in which they had to make a split-second decision. Azariah Cohen had to make a decision right then. It's not like they were preparing for it. Like, Uzziah had warned them, hey, I'm coming to bring the Ketores today. No, he just came in and went inside and said, all right, I'm bringing the Ketores today. I'm going to the Heichal. I would assume he had to make that decision. And the fact that it's mentioned in such a way shows us, and what happens to Uzziah, that Azariah Cohen did the right thing. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we stand up in front? I don't know. I don't know. I wish we fully understood how powerful we really are. I have no idea. But the concept is there. The idea is there. Stop a person from doing it. Listen, if a person comes up and says, I want to say Kaddish in the shul. A woman comes up and says, I want to say Kaddish in the shul. All right. That's a machlokas. There are those that allow it. Right?
You can't say. You just can't hear her, though, right?
Let's say the woman wants to be heard. She's the only one saying Kaddish. So I happen to know last week there was a woman that was going to say Kaddish here. So I went up to a guy. I went up to a guy and I said, if you don't mind, say Kaddish for each Kaddish that's going to be there, because I knew she was going to say it, so at least she should say it together with somebody else. And he did it, right? He did it. I don't say Kaddish, right? But Baruch Hashem, I was going to say Kaddish just so she wouldn't be the only person to do it. Halachically, though, halachically, she can. It's not usher. Kaddish is a little bit different. But if she would come into shul and she'd say, I want to put on tefillin, right, then I'm going to have to be strong. Then I'm going to get up in front of her and say, I'm really sorry. No. That's not what you can't do that. That would be, you'd have to lay down the line. When are you willing to do it? Vayizav Uzziah. Uzziah got angry. Obiyod miktaras lahaktir. In his hand was the ketores that was supposed to be burned. It says in Pasuk Yotas. Ubezapuli makwanim. He was so angry with the kwanim. Vatsaras zorcho b'mitzcho. Tsaras popped out on his forehead. Lifnei akwanim beis Hashem. In front of the kwanim in the beis hamikdash me'alam mizbeach haketores. Right on top of the mizbeach haketores. Tsaras popped out in front of his forehead. Now the kwanim were experts in Tsaras. They took one look at him and they said, oh, you're done, right? They were able to see it immediately, but it was anger. Says the Medrash, we all know that Tsaras comes because of Lashon Hara, right? Says the Medrash, because of this Pasuk, Tsaras also comes because of anger. If a person gets angry, we see from this Pasuk that it goes through. Not only that, we also learn from this Pasuk that Tsaras comes because of Azus Metzach, when a person is brazen. Too brazen, this is the result. Right? Azaryo, the Kohen HaRosh. Now, interesting over here, you see it says Kohen HaRosh, not the Kohen HaGadol. Possibly because he was the head of the Kohanim at the time. He was not doing this because he was the Kohen Gadol. He was doing this because he was the head Kohen at the time, leading them against Uzziahu. So the Kohen HaRosh, Vachol HaKohanim, and all the Kohanim with Veneu Mitzorah of Mitzcho. He was a Mitzorah on his forehead. Vavihiluhu Misham. They quickly ran the king out of there. They took him, they picked him up, and they just threw him out. He also decided to run away. He wanted to leave because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had plagued him. I don't know if they were allowed to carry him. There was a shiloh on what you can do with Tsaras and what kind of tuma, whether that's tumas masa or not. I don't remember how the Gemara comes out, tumas masa by Tsaras, but I believe it is tame. So I don't know if they carried him or they just took like little boards and like, you know, forced him out. I have absolutely no idea. Uzziah was a Metzorah till the day of his death. He sat, it's sort of in like a jail, the leper house. was called the free house because the people could do what they wanted, but they usually stayed there. As a Metzorah, Kinigzom Beis Hashem, he was cut off in the house of Hashem. Yosam Beno Al Beis HaMelech. Yosam his son became the king. Shofet Es Am Ha'aretz, he judged all the people around. Yesod for Uziyo, Arishon V'Achronim, everything else that Uziyo did. Kasav Yeshaya Ben Amotz HaNavi. Yeshaya wrote it down. There's quite a bit in Sefer Yeshaya that he wrote about what happened by the days of Uziyo. Vayishkav Uziyo Mavosav. Uziyah slept with his fathers. Vayikbur Osoni Mavosav B'Steyak Vura Shalom Malachim. He was buried with his fathers in the valley or the field of the burial that the kings had. Kiam Metzoru, they said he's a Metzoru, Vayimloch Yosam Beno Tachtov, and Yosam, his son, became king after him. Unfortunately, it seems that he was not buried in the valley of the kings. He was buried in a valley outside of the kings because he was a Metzoru. Now, the reason, first of all, we have to understand something. Metzoru, Tzaras only happens to people that are tzaddikim. You can't be a Rasha and get Tzaras. Yes, you spoke Lashon Hara, right? But the evil people do not get Tzaras. Tzaras means that God touched you. It's called a nega. Nega is the word of naga. It's as if God put his hand on you, and when he touches you, he causes death in that makom, and there's a little white spot that appears right there. That's what Tzaras is supposed to be. If Tzaras is such a thing, it's so tame-filled, it's such the HaKadosh Baruch, it has to be something that somebody is so tahor that the tuma is able to affect them. That's the idea behind it, what it's supposed to be over here. Mida k'neged mida, Uziyah's character flaw is that although he was outwardly successful, there was decay within his system. And it only came out as time came on. That's exactly what Tzaras is. Tzaras looks good on the outside, and then all of a sudden, something from the inside decays, and it shows something from the inside out.
What did you say about the tumas coming out? What, did you say something about tumas coming out of the ground?
No. Because he was telling me he wasn't be able to be buried in the ground. Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know. I thought I'd...
I think that's what he refers to, because he wasn't going to be allowed to be inside there. That's that. You know what's amazing? Uziyah was actually an awesome king. He was a really, really good king. There were some awesome things that he did. Sure, there were bad things that he did also, right? But he was an amazing king for Klal Yisrael. He did some awesome, awesome things over here. It seems, right? It seems that there was some pretty awesome stuff that he did. Now, there is a machlokas how long he was a leper for. Notice over here, it doesn't say the amount of years. It could be that he was a leper for a total of 25 years. Remember, he was king for 52. That means he was actually king for 27 years, and then he was a leper for the last 25 of them. That's very, very hard
to
understand.
What's the problem with him being buried if he's tummy? Or if he's...
That's a good call, because if you're Tomei Mace anyway, what's the difference? They felt that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a certain amount of Tuma in this world, he wasn't deserving to be buried in the Valley of the Kings, in the area where the kings were. All the other kings that were buried there were Tzadikim. For Uziyah to be buried there, it seems like not because of the Tzaras that he had had. That's what it seems like, right? And it could be when it refers to over there. Okay, that's that. You know, I hear a cool pshat, though? It's called Beis HaChavshis, in the area of freedom, right? A king, you think, is somebody who's free to do whatever it is, right? Beis HaChavshis means he's no longer a king. He doesn't have to worry about the issues of the nation. A king is not free. A king has crazy responsibilities and has to take care of everything. People get angry at you. People scream at you. I don't know about anybody here. I would not envy. I wouldn't want to be in President Trump's place right now. No matter what he does, he could literally unilaterally cause peace in the entire world. Where everybody does peace and whatever it is, I guarantee you, somebody's going to get up there and be like, but there are people who are fired from their jobs making nuclear weapons. What about those people? President Trump messed them over. I guarantee it. I'm not even saying President Obama, things that he did that were good. Nobody could agree on it. You saw the Republic, he's not whatever it is. A leader is never going to be fully liked. That's it. So when you're no longer king, you're in the Beis HaChavshis. You're free. You no longer have to worry about all that garbage. You can finally be somebody instead. That's what's going to be over here. Okay, so Yosam was the regent until his father died. Ben Esrim v'chamesh shana Yosam b'malcho. 25 years old Yosam was when he became king. V'shesh shereish shana malach v'yushalayim. He was king for 16 years in Yerushalayim, most likely including the years that his father... Not including the years that his father was a leper. V'shem imo Yerusha bas Tzadok. His mother's name, interesting name, no? Yeah. Yerusha? Daughter of Tzadok. You ever heard of a girl by the name of Yerusha? Avram, you know Israeli names. You ever heard of Yerusha? Never, right? What an interesting name. It's a good one, though. We're going to see, guys, that Yosam was a very humble person. There is one other Yosam in all of Nach. I will give a shiny quarter to anybody who can tell me who the other Yosam was. Shiny quarter.
It's not working.
Might be worth it. Yosam was the only child of Gidon who survived the onslaught of Avimelech when Avimelech killed all of his brothers, all of Gidon's kids. The only one that survived was a kid named Yosam. That was the only one that survived. Okay, so we have that. Fine. It says over here, Yaseh Yosher ben Hashem, he did good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kechol asher osa Uziyahu aviv, like Uziyahu's father did. Again, remember, Uziyahu was a great guy. He did one thing wrong at the end. Well, not at the end, but toward the end. But Uziyahu was a great guy. Raklo bol heichol Hashem. He didn't go into the heichol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like his father Uziyah did. Va'od al mashchisim. The other problem is that the people were still doing avodah zarah. Hu bana es shar beis shami, built up the gate of the beis hamikdash ha'elyon. V'chomas oifel bana rov. He also built up the wall of Ophel. V'arim bana b'har Yehuda. He also built up cities in the mountain of Yehuda. V'charoshim bana. He also built it up in the forests and whatever it is. Bana biranios, migdolin. He built other towers, right, and palaces. Hu nilchem imelech b'nei Amon. He waged war with the king of the children of Ammon. V'yachzakalemi, became stronger than v'yinu l'bnei Ammon v'ashana. He mea kikar kesed. They gave him 100 kikar of silver, aseres alafim korechitim, and 10,000 kur of wheat, usorim and barley, aseres alafim, 10,000 of that. Zosi yeshivu l'bnei Ammon v'ashana ashenis v'ashlishes. They gave him for 3 years. That's awesome. In other words, he was getting tributes and taxes from all the people around them. V'yizkazik Yosam keichin d'rochav v'nei Hashem l'kav. Yosam became even stronger because the Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to become in front of, you know, to do the road of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yesed v'yosam v'chol machamas d'rochav v'nim k'sufim asefer malchi Yisrael v'Yehuda. All the other things are written in the malchi Yisrael v'Yehuda. Ben Esrim v'chamesh Shana Hayyub Malchu. He was 25 years old in his kingdom. B'sheshes Roshana Malchu Yerushalayim. 16 years he reigned in Yerushalayim. Yishkav Yosef Mavosav Yikbru Osobi Ir David. They buried him in Ir David. Vayimloch Achaz Beno Tachtov. Yosef, good guy. That's what the Navi has to say about him. He waged war. He did great things. Everything was all good, right? The people, unfortunately, did not emulate his path. And that in and of itself is a little bit of a problem. The king is supposed to be a hero. Everyone looks up to the king. It should be that way. Unfortunately, because the people kept worshipping Ambamos and kept doing Avodah Zarah, Yosam, unfortunately, was still doing something wrong. So even though something was good, there was something bad in it with him. Now, here's the cool thing. We all know this. We understand this. Sometimes you can tell a lot about a person, not by him, but from his children. Makes sense, right? Sometimes the child of a person shows what the guy is really all about. Achaz is the child of Yosam. As great as Yosam was, that's how evil Achaz was. Now, up until this point, the only evil king that we've had was really a queen. And it was Asalia, and she wasn't from Malchus Yehuda. We have not had an evil king. We've had bad kings. There have been people that have done really, really bad things, right? They've done... That rhymed, by the way. Did you get that? Yeah. There have been kings that have done horrible things, but no one has been a bad king, even if they haven't been able to be buried with David and Melech because of the bad things they did toward the end of their life. Nobody could be considered like an absolute, oh man, that guy is a total Russia. Yoash turned bad. Ahaziah turned bad. There were people that became bad. Now, we're going to see an actual evil king. Somebody from the beginning to the end was absolutely evil. There's no question whatsoever. Now, how did that happen? It seems there was something wrong that Yosam did. What he did, we don't know. We're not privy to that information. Maybe it was his wife. Maybe his wife was a bad person. But we don't know. Somehow Achaz came into play, and it ended up being a horrible, horrible thing for all of Klal Yisrael. So let's see what happens over here. Sarah, where are we? Parakof Ches Pasagalof. Ben Esrim Shana Achaz Malcho. Achaz was king at the age of 20. He reigned for 16 years in Yerushalayim. He did not do what was proper in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Like David his father. Now, isn't that interesting? Like David his father, right? Okay, halavai. Can you imagine being compared to David? You're not as good as David HaMelech, David. What's wrong with you? You're not as good as David HaMelech. That's awesome. Great. If you're saying I'm not as good as David, that means I am awesome. I'm just not the awesomeness. Why would he say that? So Yosam either had the potential to be awesome like David and didn't take it, or it could be he started off good, but he became so bad it outweighed all the good that he did. It's possible. Chazal tell us the line that applies to Achaz is Al Sdei Ish Otzel Avarti. I walked by the field of a lazy man. Achaz's biggest problem, or Achaz's biggest problem, was that he was a lazy person. He was extremely lazy in everything he did. Vayila b'darchei Malchus Yisrael, one of the ways of the king of Israel over here. V'gam masechos asa labalam. And not only that, he made molten idols for Baal. He created his own idols. He's not like Ahaziah that grabbed idols from somewhere else. He's not like Yoash that made himself into a Avodah Zarah. He made actual molten idols. He brought Ketores in the valley of Ben Hinnom. And he even burned his own children in fire. Like the abominations of the non-Jews that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had driven out from Bnei Yisrael. This is known as, and it's interesting, Molech. It's really interesting that we don't mention it over here. Really interesting that we don't say anything about Molech specifically, but it says that he ended up doing it. Molech was an Avodah Zarah in which you had two fires, right? Two rows of fires, and he had a little path in between, and the Molech priest would take the child, pass the kid through the fire. If the kid made it through, he would be very successful in life. And usually, the child died. There was another version of the story where you had idols, hands, where there were seven arms, and on the top arm, you put the baby, and the baby would burn to death. And they would play the drums as that was going on. Evil, evil practices of Molech. Ahaz was so evil. Forget about the fact that he made Avodah Zarah, which obviously is evil and disgusting or whatever it is. Forget about the fact that he was bringing Ketores and Gai Ben Hinnom in an area which obviously was a destructive area and should not have been. He was also a person who actually brought his children to Molech. He killed his own kids. He was willing to kill his own kids. We'll talk about that in a second. And he sacrificed, he burned incense in the bamos, and on the hills of Takos, and under every shady tree as well. He did everything. Hashem gave him into the hands of Aram, the king of Aram, and he destroyed him. Right? It says, Vayishbu menu shivya gedolu, it was a huge captivity taken by Avihu Dharmasek. They brought Ahaz to Damascus. Gambia Melech Yisrael Niton. He was also handed over to the king of Israel. Vayakbo Maka Gedola. He was shamed very, very greatly. Shamed greatly for everything he had done wrong. Before we had that, before everything that happened over here, Baal, we all know, was a fertility symbol. That's something they were involved with. It was something they used for Pru-Revu. It was something that the Jews, unfortunately, got involved with quite a bit, and that was there. Molech, we already talked about over here. Now, the question is, what does this mean, Vayaver as Banav Ba'esh? He brought his children through the fire. It sounds like he had multiple children. Now, the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech himself was brought through the fire, but he survived. How did Chizkiyahu HaMelech survive the fire? What happened? His mother took the blood of a salamander. There's a certain salamander whose blood is impervious to fire. This salamander, by the way, is only created by burning a fire in an oven for 7 years straight. In another Rashi, at the end of Moed Katan, it says 70 years straight. There's a machlokes, chulin and Moed Katan, right? And by after that comes out this salamander creature. If you take the blood from that salamander, you put it on your body, you're going to be impervious to fire. You want to hear something cool, by the way? That Tzitz Eliezer says this salamander is a kosher animal. He said, because if he took that salamander blood and he put it all over his body, right, he covered his entire body with it, does that mean that he's tummy for the rest of his life? He took lizard blood. And if you say no, it goes away after a while, then why didn't Ahaz just put him through again? He saw that he made it through the first time through that. So either way, Chizkiyahu made it through. He had the blood all over him. His brother, however, there may have been a brother, Maaseiah, he died. So Maaseiah died, Chizkiyahu made it through, and it could be that he had a daughter as well, but daughters didn't go through the Molech fire. That's why he mentions multiple people that were over there. There's a lot of stuff. Not only, by the way, did he make all this Avodah Zarah, guess what, Yoni? Guess what he did? He was the Kohen for this Avodah Zarah. He actually was the guy to bring the stuff to Avodah Zarah itself. He was the guy who ended up doing it. It's crazy. Absolutely so crazy.
He's such a horrible person. How did he rule for 16 years?
I don't have an answer to that question.
He should have ruled for 16 hours, not 16 years.
I'm not. We obviously don't have that answer, but why did anybody, you know, who's so evil, why are they successful? It's a great question. But I don't think we have an answer to that. We can't answer that type of question. We don't know. But he did. And that was the result was horrendous. Look what happened. In one day, 120,000 Jews were killed. Hakob ben Echayel, every single one of those 120,000, right, they were warriors. Pekach ben Remaliyahu. Pekach ben Remaliyahu was, obviously, this Pekach ben Remaliyahu, he was the king of Aram. This is unbelievably horrible. But Ozvam as Hashem Elokei Avosim, it's all because they forsook Hashem Elokei Avosim. You think if anything would show them that they were wrong, this is it. V'ar Zichri Gibor Ephraim es Maaseyu ben Amelech, and Zichri, the strong man of Ephraim, killed Maaseyahu, the son of the king. We do not know who exactly that was, whether it was Maaseyu, the other son of Achaz himself, or if it was somebody else, because it seems like Maaseyahu would have died in the fire itself. But regardless, right, he brought him through, and he killed Maaseyahu ben HaMelech, as Azrikam Negir HaBayis, as well as Azrikam, the prince of the house, as Elkanah Mishnei HaMelech, and also Elkanah, the second in command of the house. They captured, this is the Jews, Bnei Yisrael captured 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. The Gam Shalo Rav Bazumehem. They took a ton of plunder for them. Maybe it was Shalo Shomron. They brought all of this to the Shomron itself. Absolutely unreal that they had just done this, right? Nobody had ever done this before, especially to their brothers. These are fellow Jews. These are not people from the middle of nowhere. It's absolutely crazy that this ended up happening over here all because of Avodah Zarah. I don't know how Bnei Yisrael even survived this. 120,000 soldiers dead. 200,000 women and children taken into captivity. B'shama Yanavi
Lashem. We should probably stop.
Oh, you're right. Hold on. All right, we'll have to stop right there. Well, you know what? Let's stop with Ches. We'll go back to Ches. Okay, so we'll stop with Ches, guys. We'll come back to that next time. Shkoyach, everyone.